Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this modern dystopia, it's episode number 149 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag presents the latest ramblings of the Scottish guy. At 12:30, looks like Jameis won't be starting for the Saints this Sunday. And in mere minutes, Ewers commits to Ohio State, which begets a larger conversation regarding the Buckeyes' recruiting successes in Texas. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who always makes sure the horn section sounds good and the inventor of Am I the A-Hole, which he never is because he's the chillest dude in the room. It's Shoeless Sam Pika. What's up, Sam? How you doing?
I touched my face with our weird Clorox and now my skin burns.
Ooh. That'll do it. Makes you wonder why there are people who have a fetish for that sort of thing. And sitting across from you is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Friday. Hit a nice big round number on the old calendar with the 20, November 20. Should be getting ready for a football game for the Longhorns, but we're not. Because of the postponement there. There is still some football to get into. We will make our picks coming up, the Supreme Lending and Chris Waters International Realty picks. Before we jump right in, as we were switching shows, Jeff Howe was looking at his phone as he walked out. I'm just going to hope this was a weird thing he misread or it's a fake account, because if it's real, we might be in for one of the greatest unintentional comedy moments in sports history tomorrow. As he's walking out, Jeff Howe reads on his phone that there's a story out there that Virginia Tech and Pitt might wear masks during the game tomorrow. They might be requiring them, I guess because of Pennsylvania law, the game's at Pitt. They're going to require players, anybody that's on the field at all, has to wear, I guess, your helmet, and you also have to have a face covering at the same time. Wow. Trey, that could end up being unintentional comedy on a whole nother level. These are already two teams nobody wants to watch play.
Yeah.
Neither of them are that good. Hendon Hooker might be the best player on both teams. I don't know both rosters, but he's definitely one of them. But now we're going to affect all their breathing during the game? What are we doing? You're going to make the big uglies wear a mask? The centers? What?
There are overreactions on all sides of this topic, have been for going on 8 months now, Chad. But if this is the route that they're choosing to go, they are blatantly ignoring the facts that we have in front of us. And that is that two teams meeting up on the field, even if there is a COVID-positive player, is not leading to a transmission on the other side of the ball. It's just not.
Certainly not in any kind of numbers where you'd need this level of fear.
I don't know if we have any evidence of that yet.
I don't know that we do either. It's a great point because we've even seen stuff where one guy tested positive or ends up on like a contact tracing list, and we say, oh, well, there he is saying goodbye to that guy. There he is talking to that guy in the last game. Remember the Patrick Mahomes story?
Yeah.
Who was the other guy? Was it Ramsey?
No, it was with the Patriots. Gilmore, maybe?
Stephon Gilmore. Thank you. Stephon Gilmore, who ended up testing positive, and then it was, oh, my God, there he is the other night talking to Patrick Mahomes. Is Patrick Mahomes gonna? Nope, he didn't. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't as big a deal as we thought. And so in terms of the game itself, we've seen the actual transmission that they don't really see. And also the fact that these teams are going out of their way to, you know, all these different protocols in place. And as we've talked about on this show, college is going way further to be careful than the NFL is. You and I might argue it's too far. This one feels really too far. So anyway, you know what, though, Trey? I will say this. I wasn't planning on peeking in on that game, but now you may get me. 3 o'clock tomorrow, while Bama is probably whipping up on Kentucky, and I am going to be focused on that Iowa State game, maybe I have to peek in on Pitt, Virginia Tech, just to see what the masks look like.
I'm good with screenshots.
You're good with the screenshot. It's funny. Do we issue everybody the same mask? How does that work, ACC? Can you explain that to us? So that may happen, but as we jump in today, let's get into some picks, and then we will talk about this Quinn Ewers story. You want to get our picks out there, Trey? You want to make them official?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Speaking of the school Quinn Ewers just picked, Ohio State and Indiana, we are not going to – now, we are both – I think we're both in the camp of we want to see Indiana make it close and mm-hmm. maybe even rooting for Indiana. Like, I don't ever root for Ohio State to win a football game, so I'm rooting for Indiana.
Oh, no question.
But Ohio State's the pick here.
Yeah, it's hard to go straight up against the 20-point favorite.
I hope I'm wrong.
Me too. If I'm wrong, I will be happier if I'm wrong than if we get that pick right. Because guess what? Everybody that's picking this weekend is going to get that pick right.
I would think so. Yeah, if we go 4-1 and that's the one, no problem. I'll sleep soundly. Wisconsin at Northwestern. Here's another one. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But Trey, my eyeballs tell me Wisconsin's better. The line goes towards Wisconsin, so we would be picking Wisconsin here anyway because we go with the Vegas betting line if there's a tie here. Are you Wisconsin or would you have gone with Northwestern?
Probably Wisconsin. Still not sold on Wisconsin just yet. I know that they have looked good so far through a couple of games, but the competition they faced has absolutely sucked. I know Northwestern is technically a top 25 team this year, but Pat Fitzgerald tends to start things out this way before his before the reality of what his team actually is sets in. Perhaps this is the week that we see that reality.
I will not go through all these numbers I looked up because I don't want anybody to fall asleep, but here's the short version. Northwestern and Wisconsin have beaten these teams combined. Illinois, Michigan, Maryland, Iowa, Nebraska, and Purdue. There you go.
Exactly.
And while we all know that no conference in America plays schedule magic better than the SEC. Nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
The silver medalist is the ACC, but let's give the Big Ten credit for their bronze medal status because they can work some schedule magic out in the Big Ten with 14 teams, Maryland and Rutgers on one side. Yeah. Oh, they disguise a lot in the Big Ten with their scheduling.
Well, and let's be honest, in that division that Wisconsin and Northwestern in, they don't even have to work a whole lot of magic.
The old West.
It's just a whole lot of crap with Wisconsin.
It ain't the NFC West out there.
No.
It is not. So we'll go with Wisconsin there in that one. And also, we're just going to have to go with the gut in Bedlam. Another one where I hope I'm wrong. I want to be dead wrong here, Trey, but head up. We can't pick Oklahoma State to beat Oklahoma.
I want to pick Oklahoma State, but having watched them play their last couple of games and just seeing how hit or miss that offense is, the defense is only going to be able to prop them up so much in this game.
By the way, why am I seeing headlines that say, this could be Mike Gundy's best opportunity to be... Are you watching these football games? His best opportunity? How? It's in Norman. That team is starting to look like that, and his team looks like that.
You know when that article made sense a month ago.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
Article has not made sense as of these last couple of weeks.
Dude, Lincoln Riley's got all Mike Gundy wants and more. We're going to pick OU to win the game again. I hope I'm wrong. And in the NFL, we got two interesting picks. How about the game in Indianapolis, Green Bay and Indy? Indy's favored in this game. And Trey, I think you and I would have had a disagreement here. I think you're the one that's pulling us to the Colts, and man, do I hope you're right here, because I hate the Packers. I want to see Phillip Rivers and the gang win, but I don't trust Phillip as far as his arm angle goes up. But you said you'd go Indy, so I think we're going to pick the Colts here on the off the Vegas line.
I don't either, but what I trust with the Colts right now is their ability to do some really nice things on the ground and have Phillip operating more off of play action than anything else, which is what we saw versus the Titans this last week. So I think their ability to control the clock will be very, very beneficial. They obviously have the three-headed attack at running back right now. Hines looked the best last week. Will it be Wilkins or Jonathan Taylor this week? Who knows? Maybe a combination of the three. Maybe two of the three end up looking really good. But give me the Colts in this one. I know I'm going out on a little bit of a limb, even though the Colts are favored. But then again, I got sucked in last week by thinking it was a bad play by Vegas to have the Colts favored. I think a lot of people are feeling that way about the Packers this week now, too. I'm not getting fooled again.
All right, we will go with the Colts there. The other thing to look forward to in the next few years is if they can keep DeForest Buckner and keep Leonard and those guys on defense and get fans in that building. Like this game, think about what this game could be. Aaron Rodgers in an environment where he can't hear a thing, and he's got those guys on the other side. Leonard's one of the best linebackers in football, and DeForest Buckner is an incredible get for them. They're a physical team, both sides of the ball. We'll see if the Colts can do it. We'll take the Colts there. And then in the game with most pizzazz for the week has got to be Kansas City and Vegas. Not only is it Kansas City-Vegas, is it John Gruden and the Raiders and all that, but this whole story about the bus ride around the stadium and Kansas City's mad or trying to be mad because there was a, you know, the victory lap that was taken around Kansas City when the Raiders won the game or something like whatever was going on. John Gruden is actually intimating that maybe the bus driver mouthed off to him. Imagine that picture. The bus driver mouthed off to the Raiders, so John Gruden made the bus driver just cruise the stadium.
Oh, glad John Gruden isn't going petty in his old age.
He either is, or he's just being that sarcastic about it and actually doesn't care. One of the two.
Hopefully it's that.
But in terms of this game, Trey, Kansas City's a 7-point favorite, and my gut just says Kansas City. I know they're on the road here, but they're a better team, and I think they get the win.
I'm not going against a motivated Pat Mahomes. And the fact that he wants to show that the Chiefs are better than what they showed versus the Raiders the first time around is enough for me to pick KC.
Yep, we'll go with the Chiefs on that one. So thanks to Supreme Lending and Chris Waters, the International Realty crew, just for letting us pick games with you, because clearly we don't do it that well, and the Coke FM crew never does it as well as you guys. But y'all are the experts. We're just glad to be in it with you. The winner will get the bragging rights and the ability to donate some money to charity. So there are weeks where that Chris Waters Realty crew, man, they're unbelievable.
Is that the group that always picks the same, too?
A lot of times they'll all pick the same. But then it's one thing to do that. But one week they all pick the same and, like, they all went 5-0.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have been climbing out of a hole since then. Pause just a second. I know we're about to talk about Ewers committing to Ohio State yesterday. Longhorn Network right now is showing some sort of diving competition.
Okay.
And normally when you think about diving competitions, you think about them being on a higher board. Okay, they're on a slightly higher diving board now. They were just doing dives off of that lowest board you see there, which looks like a board that you find at a local neighborhood pool or that you used to find at local neighborhood pools before diving boards were banned.
Right.
It is hilarious watching these world-class divers essentially do dives that we would try and complete as kids.
Yeah, they do the low and the high. They've got both of those, right?
I feel like they need to go ahead and abolish the low board.
Like that tall one is up there at, like, I don't know if it's like 25 or 30 meters, but the low one's like a 10-meter board, I think.
The one was literally like a foot and a half off the water.
Maybe it's like a meter. Maybe
so
it's a
like
meter off the water.
Literally doing a single flip and diving into the water, and of course they all have the perfect amount of splash or whatever coming off of that. I feel like for the watchability of diving championships, especially starting at the collegiate level, you got to start on the high dive. You have to be at least, I don't know, 20 feet off the water.
Yeah.
2 feet off the water?
Well, don't they do them as different events, though? Like, don't you specialize, right? Like, you're either you're on the high dive or you're on the low?
Well, they all need to be on the high dive.
All right. Fair enough.
I mean, come on, guys. We're not 12, not even 12. 12-year-olds are going off the high dive. We're not 6 years old here wearing floaties.
By the way, the other thing we need to do there for watchability, when they get to a big moment where everything's tied, if they have, like, you know, decimal points or whatever, we need to start breaking ties with either belly flops or cannonballs, because their whole world is no splash, and I get that, but that's a sick world. I want to know how much they could create a splash if they wanted to. You know they're good at it. You know they are.
A backbuster, maybe?
I want to know. They need to come up with some fun, or just do it in some exhibition way to do it, and then tell me you're televising it. If you tell me the Texas swim team is going to have a belly flop competition, I'm watching.
What's up, Sam?
I looked it up. So they have three different events in college diving.
All right.
They got the 16-foot board, the 25-foot board, and the 33-foot board. And so I guess you're seeing 16?
You're seeing maybe the angle you saw 16 at made it look lower, something like that.
No, okay. Well, hopefully it is a little bit higher up than that because it looks like it's barely off the water.
All right.
It's a weird diversion.
Well, it's not. That's not 16 feet off the water. No way. That is not 16 feet off the water.
No, that's not. You're right. Yeah, that's definitely not.
I mean, that is literally three. I was saying a foot and a half, 2 feet. That's probably more like 3 or 4 feet off the water.
Maybe they're televising practice. Who knows? I have no idea.
I will say that is impressive that he just spun around 4 times before hitting the water, even on the low board.
Hey, two impressive things, as always, about Texas swimming and diving. We know Eddie Reese is a part of it, and he is the GOAT of all the coaches over there with the most, you know, skins on the wall and all that. Plus, swimming and diving is one of the very few events where Longhorns and Aggies do still get together.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's scheduled necessarily every year, but I do see that a lot more often than in some other sports.
Yep.
So shout out to swimming and diving there. All right, in terms of Texas football, this is kind of a Texas football story. Maybe it's the last time we mention it, but just to round out the Quinn Ewers story, 2022 top recruit in the country, the stud quarterback Quinn Ewers from South Lake Carroll has now made his decision, and get ready to roll your eyes, Longhorn fans. He's going to Ohio State. That means the Buckeyes had the number one overall recruit in 2020, a wide receiver, number one overall recruit in 2021, a defensive end, and now the number one overall recruit in 2022, Quinn Ewers, quarterback, South Lake Carroll. Trey, I am sorry on behalf of all other fan bases that are also frustrated that Ohio State's taking all these guys out of the state, but here we go again. Wow.
This was expected ever since Ewers decommitted from Texas a month ago or whenever it was.
The Ohio State part was?
The Ohio State part was. And there was some thought that he delayed for at least a couple of weeks because there was a chance that if Tom Herman lost to Oklahoma State that they would go ahead and make the coaching change then. And because the Ewers family, I believe they grew up Longhorn fans. So the common thought among Texas people who follow recruiting is that if there is a new coaching staff, and especially if that new coaching staff is headed up by Urban Meyer, that Ewers would still consider coming to Texas. But that obviously hasn't happened yet, so he wants to go ahead and set his future in terms of what's going to happen for him. I'm assuming he's going to be an early graduate from high school to where he can actually enroll at Ohio State in the spring or the winter, I guess, technically, of 2022. So this kind of sets his course.
It is amazing to me, though, we're continuing to watch this thing nationally where when the kids that are truly national start thinking about where they want to go, it just feels like they're thinking of three cities and that's it. It's either Tuscaloosa, Clemson, or Columbus. Because if I was a fan, and I am, by the way, but if I'm a fan today of a school in the state of Texas, even if it's not UT, this story should make me mad. This story should confuse me and continue the discussion of, is anybody going to take this state? Is anyone inside of the state actually going to grab hold to where a South Lake Carroll quarterback, if he's not going to Texas, might actually think of a list that contains, I don't know, Aggies, Bears, TCU, even SMU. No, none of it? You're going right to Columbus, Ohio? That is frustrating for me as an Aggie fan, and I know it's got to be frustrating for not only Longhorn fans, but it would frustrate me no matter who I like in the state of Texas.
With the exception, maybe, of A&M because of Jimbo's track record in terms of developing quarterbacks, do you blame the guy, though?
No, I see what you're
saying.
And
that's not to say that Ohio State has been an NFL quarterback machine. They've put a couple of guys in the league in the last 5 to 10 years now, but I don't know, do they even have a starter in the National Football League right now? They probably have a couple of backups.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
Justin Fields is going to be a high draft pick coming out after this year, but even still, they've done a better job of getting their quarterbacks to a point where it gives them a chance, and they're also competing for championships consistently, too.
Right. And
just reading a little bit about Ewers, I mean, this guy just wants to go to school, play football, you know, have some college fun, compete for championships, and then give himself a chance to make it to the NFL.
And that's why I bring up those three schools. It's like at the beginning of every year, realistically, you can say Bama, Clemson, and Ohio State can win it all, and maybe we'll talk about other schools. And obviously LSU had their year last year, but they fall back. And is Georgia really that serious about it? Well, we'll see. And does this school have the talent or whatever? But it's weird. It's like ever since Texas played Bama for the title, from then to now, there's been these little blips for certain schools. You know, maybe it was A&M for just a little bit, and then it was Art Briles for a little bit, but nobody's grabbed a hold of it. And now I saw you retweet the stat today that Ohio State has had more five stars from the state of Texas the last 4 years than Texas has?
Yeah, it's from Zach Barnett, who is a college football writer for Football Scoop. He tweeted this out yesterday. Five-star commitments from the state of Texas 2017 to present. Ohio State 5, Texas is 4.
Yeah.
4 5-star commits from their own state, whereas Ohio State has them topped by 1. And I retweeted that with a comment, getting 5-star commitments is hard, Chad.
That was fantastically tweeted, by the
way,
on your part. But again, let's think of this in a bigger realm. If you're a fan of somebody that's not Texas, you can't start that joke tweet. You can't even do it because you got to realize what you're doing there. Yes, Trey is upset at that. Yes, all the Longhorn fans are upset at that. But come on, if you're an Aggie fan, you know where LaGrange, Texas is. The J.K. Dobbins thing needs to make you just as mad as it makes a Texas fan. Yeah, the kid didn't pick Texas, but before we all start to laugh at that, if you root for another school, well, wait a second. He didn't pick you either. And he didn't pick you, Baylor. And he didn't pick you, TCU. And he didn't pick you, Texas Tech. He didn't even pick you, SMU or Houston. This kid decides that Columbus, Ohio is the best option for him. Wow. Again, this is happening again and again. JT Barrett, J.K. Dobbins, Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
That's one. If you're trying to make fun of Texas for that one, well, what about the other schools? There are receivers at A&M. They throw the ball at Baylor these last few years. Texas Tech, my God, he could have caught 1,000 balls in Lubbock if he wanted to.
At the time, not anymore.
At the time, not now, but at the time. And then no interest? None. Garrett Wilson ends up wearing that uniform. It should make a ton of people in this state mad to watch this Ohio State team play right now and obviously moving forward if Ewers makes this choice.
Well, the backstory with Garrett Wilson is especially infuriating because that was a matter of just sloppy work by then-receivers coach Drew Maringer. Herman's not going to like this, but according to inside sources, anonymous sources whose names I'm not going to give to you people.
How dare you unname those sources, Trey?
That's how inside sources work. You don't dime that person out, Tom Herman.
I need your inside sources outside. Bring them outside!
But anyhow, Drew Maringer was apparently bagging on some of the current receivers at Texas when Wilson and his dad were visiting. And they were guys who were actual good players on the team, who were productive players on the team, but he was just being hypercritical over these guys. And Wilson and his dad are looking at one another like, these are the dudes that are under your tutelage, and you're pointing out all the things that they're doing wrong. Why would we want to come here? We have no faith in you developing him, our guy.
Yeah, that's crazy. So Quinn Ewers picking Ohio State 2022 class, and the other level of frustration, real quick, I would also bring up, if you're a Texas fan or any Texas, A&M, whoever you're a fan of, the way that Ryan Day has grabbed Ohio State just like Lincoln Riley grabbed OU, man, that's got to piss you off if you're a fan of other schools. If you're a fan of their rivals, if you're a Michigan fan, if you're a Texas fan, if you're an Oklahoma State fan, man, that's got to make you mad because you're not supposed to be the guy that follows the guy. Both of these guys are the guy that follows the guy. And it may have gotten better. Think about that.
Yeah.
Now, it hasn't produced a title yet. Let's be fair. It has not produced a title. But still, the recruiting is like a freight train in Columbus, and Lincoln Riley's doing okay, too.
But to your point, Chad, the side comment that comes every time we talk about selling our football souls to bring Urban Meyer in is, let's just make sure we have a contingency plan for 5 years down the road. And that it's the Ryan Day contingency plan versus, gosh, I forget who Florida State followed, or Florida rather, followed Urban Meyer with. Who was that?
Muschamp.
Oh, gosh. Well, he was the Texas contingency plan when he was here with Mac Brown before he decided to go to Florida.
I read an article the other day that pointed out that he followed Urban Meyer at Florida and Steve Spurrier at South Carolina. Tough shoes to fill, man. Tough shoes to fill. All right, coming up, let's get to some NFL stuff. Are the Saints really going with Taysom Hill and not Jameis Winston? Where do you hear how this story developed? Plus, NFL Week 11 has a lot of good stuff in it. In fact, it has some historic stuff in it. We'll tell you about it on the Horn. Hope you're having a good Friday. Lots of new music out there on Fridays. But when Sam Peake is producing, it's just gonna get funky. What do you got, Sam?
This is I Missed by Surface.
Mm-hmm. I bet they have a new album out. Is this a new record?
This one?
Yeah,
no.
Right now? No?
This was okay. 80s? Just early 80s, I think?
Just checking. Sam Peake is here. That means coming up at 1:45, he will be in charge of Where Are We At in Society. What do you got today?
We got Am I the A-Hole?
Excellent.
More of it.
Excellent. Am I the A-Hole? We had some disagreement yesterday on the A-Hole stories. That's always fun. So we've got that coming up at 1:45.
I feel like any time that there's a disagreement as to whether or not somebody is the A-Hole, one of the two sides is an A-Hole for not calling it like they should.
Correct. I think yesterday it was probably me.
Yeah, oh, you were definitely, that's why I was saying that. You were the a-hole. Sometimes it's me.
I'm not saying yesterday.
That it's always the person disagreeing for me. Sometimes I clearly am the a-hole, just like I am in real life.
Dustin McComas coming up from Orange Bloods at 1. We're going to talk some fantasy. We didn't get to talk fantasy with JD yesterday. He's off this week with us, but we're going to grab our man Wags. Adam Wagner of the Wagner Wire. If you don't check it out on Sundays, you need to. Sunday, 9 to noon with your fantasy stuff, and we'll talk to Wags coming up at 2 because I know Trey's got questions. In fact, this NFL story we're about to get to is why Trey's got some extra questions.
Oh, this is painful, Chad.
We will get to that. Let me remind you, though, that we do have the Longhorn photo booth going on all week. Go to Randall's on Williams Drive in Georgetown. Snap that photo with the Coors Light display. Go hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill, and you'll be registered for a $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store. If you're not near Randall's in Georgetown, check the Total Wine or Specs Wine and More near you. Thanks to Coors Light, an official sponsor, of course, the exclusive domestic beer of the Longhorns and a great partner of ours. A lot of good text rolling in on the Specs text line. Somebody says, hey, Trey, tremendous interview yesterday. Anything cerebral on today's agenda? Of course, Scottish guys coming up in the crap bag at 12:45. So glad you asked. All right, Trey, in terms of the NFL, it's week 11, and we'll get to a couple games, but this story that broke this morning, I will admit, has me a bit confused. So this morning, Adam Schefter tweets out. Later on, I read that Diana Rossini is also reporting this, and now I guess multiple NFL folks have been told that Taysom Hill is the starter for the Saints, and Jameis Winston isn't involved in any packages in the game. Taysom took every starting snap this week. So the Saints, if you don't know, are playing Atlanta at home. It's a noon kick. Taysom Hill, the guy, and I mentioned you in fantasy football, you were ready to roll with Jameis this week, right?
Yeah, I had used my waiver pick, and I wasn't high up on the waiver order because of some selections I had made the previous week, but I used my first pick on Jameis Winston, and all of the fantasy experts, by the way, over the last couple of days were saying Jameis Winston is a smart play this week. He's got a great cast around him, obviously. He's playing a really bad Falcons defense that he is familiar with from having been in this division for the last several years.
Yep.
So it seemed very obvious to a lot of people that Jameis was going to look good this week, but then Sean Payton had a change of heart and decided that he wanted to give a guy an opportunity who, in some weird roundabout ways, is considered the team's backup quarterback, but that they have signed through next year. And they want to see what he can give you, considering that you are going up against such a bad defense this week with the Falcons.
So there's an interesting game being played here with Sean Payton. And the first question that would pop in my head is, if you knew this is where you were headed, why wouldn't Taysom Hill have just been your backup in the previous game? But we all know that he likes to use Taysom Hill when Drew Brees is healthy. He likes Taysom in certain packages. So maybe he thinks of it, Trey, as Jameis is my backup when Drew's healthy. But if Drew's not healthy, now I have to take a look at it and say, all right, now those package plays change for me. But I also believe in Taysom more as a backup quarterback. Like
the package plays don't change, though.
Theoretically, they don't. Because I guess. The package plays might stay, but what I'm saying is you can't pattern the game the same way if Taysom is taking every single snap.
Right.
So something has to change there. This is just, it's weird from multiple levels. They get the insurance of Jameis Winston. They're paying him like $16 million a year. And we just thought we were going to see Sean Payton try to trust Jameis. He didn't get one starting rep, though. So I'm a little confused as to why this plays out the way it is. And most important, Trey, why do we know this today? Like, why would an NFL team, you and I both, I think, agree on this. Would Adam Schefter have gotten that information if Sean Payton didn't want him to get it?
I don't think so. Like, that's something that you were receiving a call from if you're Adam Schefter. Excuse me. You're not digging for that because you assume, like everybody else has, that Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback. So that's you receiving a call and saying, wow, you sure about this? And I don't think this is a case of like what happened with Charlie Strong and the OB guys. Charlie's last year here, we wanted to throw a smokescreen out to confuse Notre Dame and have the report leak that Tyrone Swoops was going to be this team's starting quarterback, even though everybody knew it was going to be Shane Buechel. You don't need to play those games in the NFL, especially against a pretty listless Falcons team.
Yeah, all of it just does not make sense to me. If you were going to make, if you meant it to be a surprise, let it be a surprise. Why would you put it out on a Friday? Why would you do that to Jameis Winston's psyche? But then also, Jameis Winston's psyche's got to deal with it behind the scenes. Why bring it out into the media and let everybody hear about it? But then we were talking about it before the show. Maybe this is Sean Payton wanting to throw a whole bunch of stuff on film for everybody else, and he intends for Jameis Winston to play. By the way, my favorite tweet of the day after this story broke was Nick Wright of Fox, who has absolutely become a guy who has an opinion if you need it. Nick comes out and tweets, oh, Jameis Winston's definitely going to throw more balls than Taysom Hill this week. So I don't know if Nick Wright's got any actual information there or if he's just trying to be bold because that's kind of what they need him to do.
Yeah.
But now I am going to be peeking in on this game in a way that I wasn't going to before. Jameis Winston's ego has taken a hit, obviously, in the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
This one, Trey, is just one to keep an eye on because I wonder how Sean Payton is selling this to Jameis Winston.
Like, how long is Taysom Hill's leash? Like, if he plays really poorly in the first half and the Saints are trailing, are you sticking with him? Or are you considering Jameis Winston at that point? And here's another question, Chad, and apologies for stealing your thunder here, but it's one you posited prior to today's show, and I think it's valid. Why did Taysom Hill not play in the second half of last week's game?
Right.
If you're that convinced that he needs to be the guy for the next couple of weeks while he's out with an injury.
Yeah, because if your thought process is Jameis is my backup, Taysom is always going to be my package guy unless I need him to absolutely be my guy. This is different. This was, and by the way, Jameis didn't do anything horrible in last week's game.
He was 6 of 10.
Yeah, he did all right. I mean, he did what he needed to do on short notice, not knowing that he was going to play. And then to not give him one starting rep and completely turn it around is so odd to me. That's another part of it I'm not sure if I get. Because if you put Taysom Hill in, then that's just the story all week where you go, well, he used him as the backup of that game. I guess he'll use him against Atlanta. It would still be a what's going on with Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And you'd be paying way too much money for a third stringer at that point.
That's true, too.
Or this week a backup. So, yeah, it's bizarre to me.
I'd like to ask our resident Saints fan, Sam Pika. A lot of people don't realize this. Sam Pika does care slightly more than I do about sports, especially as it pertains to the New Orleans Saints. Pika, what do you feel about this decision to start Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston?
I'm excited for it. I think he's got a lot better chemistry with the team, and I think that's a big part of it.
Okay.
I think it's going to be fun, too, to watch because Taysom's a lot more mobile than Drew ever is. So it's going to be kind of fun to see like the Saints with a mobile quarterback, you know, since they're always throwing him in at a tight end and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a fun game. I don't think it's going to be a fun 4 weeks, however long he's out, but it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I wonder if they know time, even though they're not maybe not telling us, do they know the time frame on Breeze? We've talked about these games, two with Atlanta, one with Denver, one with, is it the Giants or Eagles maybe? There's some livable games here before they have to play Kansas City. So, you know, is this, again, going to be Sean Payton just using this as an opportunity to really dial up the Taysom Hill part of it, thinking, man, when I get Drew Breeze back, we'll have gotten in-game work on the Taysom Hill stuff, and we will absolutely be ready to roll.
Here's one of the ridiculous side stories to Taysom Hill starting this weekend as it pertains to fantasy football, because you know with me, Chad, everything turns back to fantasy football.
Of course.
ESPN, and I think other fantasy hosting sites have Taysom Hill listed as either a quarterback or a tight end. So you are essentially going to get quarterback production out of your tight end position this weekend if you have Taysom Hill on your roster. That is unfair.
You can't play him as a, you won't play him as a quarterback.
I think for at least this week, they need to take away his tight end eligibility. It's wow. either quarterback or bust for him.
That's some first world nerd problems you got going on
sure
over there.
Sure is.
I like that.
It matters, though.
That's some good nerd stuff. By the way, speaking of nerd stuff, did you hear that DeAndre Hopkins got a 99 Madden rating after the catch last week?
Oh, he wasn't already 99?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
They kicked him up to 99, and he is only the sixth NFL player ever to get a 99. Right now, he and Michael Thomas are the only receivers that have a 99 rating.
We need to talk about that game last night at some point. I think we're going to do so at 1:30. I am very frustrated with Kyler Murray's inability to utilize what is clearly his best weapon on offense down the stretch in a ball game where you have to score a touchdown to tie it up or to give yourself a chance to either tie it up or to go for two for a win. The fact that they didn't use DeAndre Hopkins more on that final drive, it's ridiculous. And he needs to have a conversation with Deshaun Watson to truly understand the value of having Hopkins on your roster and on that left side.
Seattle bounces back last night with a 28-21 win. They go to 7-3. We'll talk about that. By the way, the history in the NFL, this is the only week since the merger, I think it is, where we have five games where teams with this level of winning percentage play each other. So essentially 6-3 or better playing each other at this time of the year. It's never happened before.
Huh.
And we have five of them this week. One was last night. Four more coming in the weekend set. All right, up next, we'll get you the crap bag, including the Scottish guy, Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods, coming up at 105 to talk some Longhorns, a crazy week that turns into a crazier week when there's no game. And we'll get back into NFL talk at 1:30, including this wild Sean Payton move and the Cowboys trying to figure out the Vikings. All that coming up on the Horn. Now, that's just fancy, funky keyboard right there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice work. That's good. I'm jealous of so many musicians, but every once in a while, it really focuses in on these dudes. These dudes, these ladies that can just sit at the piano or keyboard and do this kind of stuff.
Well, because if you are able to play piano or keyboard, it unlocks a lot of other instruments for you to learn, too.
Yep. It unlocks a lot of other things in life as well.
Like?
Whatever you need. Dates. People. Stuff. Parties. Popularity.
By stuff, do you mean drugs?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. And if you got the piano, there's a place to put them. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
You just set the drugs right up on the piano.
That's true.
My God, that's incredible.
Especially if you have one of those fully mirrored pianos.
Hey.
According to the 1970s.
At the end of that key episode of The Last Dance, where was Michael Jordan sitting after championship number 6? He sat at a piano and pretended to play a little bit. I don't know if he's even good at it, but he sat at a piano because he knows it's badass.
No, didn't they say that he wasn't good at it, but people were, like, jamming along with him?
Of course.
Like, he didn't know in the least bit how to play the piano, no. But he was just jamming on the keys, and people loved it.
He just pretended he knew. That was the key.
And his start in the NBA was with a Bulls team that had a bunch of guys who couldn't care less about what was happening on the court, but they were all about the hotel room party at the Holiday Inn.
They're about the coke.
They brought him in to do some cocaine.
That's what they
Michael
were
Jordan
about.
Didn't want anything to do with it.
No, he did not. No, he did not. All right, before we get into the crab bag, let me get you a quick reminder. If you're thinking Thanksgiving, Z Tejas wants to remind you this is your last day to get your reservations in for your Thanksgiving feast. How about turkey, the sides, including the poblano mashed potatoes, the margarita gallon, plus you can add a pumpkin cheesecake or ancho fudge pie for dessert. Z Tejas, you can pre-order by calling 217-5057 or email them at catering@ztejas.com. Still got those two locations. I think we're hitting Z Tejas this weekend. Good yummy stuff there. 6th Street and Arboretum, ztejas.com. All right, let's jump on into the crab bag here on a Friday.
Chad's crab bag.
Crab bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, no Texas game, but that doesn't mean that the Scottish guy still doesn't have things to yell about. Here we go. I just need some time to get away from all these rumors. I can't take it no more. My best friend said there's one out now about me and the girl next door. This week was supposed to be boring in the Burnt Orange Bodega. U2 was supposed to play Kansas, but apparently Les Miles thought eating grass could cure COVID, so game gets moved. But that was late in the week. On Monday, Tom Herman had two choices, the hoodie path or the McBrown path. He chose neither. Now, the Coach McBrown path does require you to have lots of info about Kansas, their stats, your player stats, national stats, and all kinds of to fill the time when the media asks about your job status. But if you feel that's a waste, no problem. Go the hoodie route. Answer like Belichick would. When they ask if you're concerned about your job security, say, I'm just worried about winning games and keeping our players healthy. That's 11 words. Hey, Tommy, you said what felt like 1,100. Let's see where you went wrong.
And there's unnamed sources. Unnamed source-based negativity gets written that are hidden behind unnamed sources and agendas.
So which bugs you more, that they are a source or that they are unnamed? Because both can piss you off. In fact, Urban Meyer had that problem a couple years ago. Wonder how mad it made him. Anyway, continue.
There's internet reporters with agendas that claim their own opinion as fact.
Oh, good Lord. They are talking to one of three kinds of people. One, people you haven't thought of because they really don't matter. Two, people you have thought of, but you think they'd never talk to the media. Or three, people you haven't thought of that really do matter, but you didn't know it. Assuming your media is out to get you and making it all up won't end well and won't help you coach or sleep. Anything else?
If I'm a competing recruiter, what do? You press print and you say, look, this is true. It must be true. It's on so-and-so orangefans.com.
Well, that was stupid. We all know they're using it, but don't give them even more to use. Bottom line, Tom, you can either handle the job or bitch about how hard it is to handle the job. Less talking, more coaching. Whenever you're ready, we'll start slow. Just cover the spread against Kansas. You know, in 3 weeks. UT in an unplanned off week, 62. Patiently waiting for basketball season while f***ing up better teams' football seasons, 3. This is SG, PAUSE. All right, there you go, hornfm.com. If you want to check out the Scottish guys from the season, or God help you, hear it again.
Scottish guy's a pretty good audio editor there. That was well done by the Scottish guy splicing those Tom Herman unnamed sources bits together.
Nowadays, they put computer terminals in bars. So they're teaching them all kinds of stuff.
It's right next to the touch games.
Exactly. You can either do roulette or sound editing.
Tri-tower or sound editing. One of the two.
Exactly. Elsewhere in the crap bag today, if you're like me and you love people punching people, we got UFC. Kevin Dunn, if you're out there, we're up to 255. Kevin loves to make fun of the UFC and their number counting. 255 this weekend, prelims 7 o'clock on ESPN2 and the plus side. Brandon Moreno is a fun fighter to watch. His nickname is the Assassin Baby, and he's really good. He's number 2 in the flyweight division at 125. So these are smaller fighters, 125. Then in the main event, we have two championship fights, both 125 belts. The men's belt with Davison Figueiredo defending, and then Valentina Shevchenko is one of the monsters in the UFC right now. Feels unbeatable at 125. She'll defend her belt, and she's now on the list of, if she's fighting, I gotta watch. Like, she's that impressive. Shevchenko, really good. 9 o'clock pay-per-view on ESPN. Plus, and on the birthday side today, we were just talking the other day about great game show hosts. After Alex Trebek died, Richard Dawson is one of the best of all time. He would have been 88 today. So, I don't know, kiss a random woman? Well, you can't do that. It's COVID. But that was his gig. That was his shtick. He could flirt with and kiss just about everybody. Like, I don't remember a woman that was on that show. I mean, you had to be like...
there's no age you couldn't be on the old side. Like, he'd have kissed a 99-year-old woman on the mouth.
That's
back
true.
Then.
And that was a weird era in the world also, where sexual harassment was not only expected, but it was embraced in weird ways.
It was the only like female he wasn't kissing was like kids. That was it. But I mean, like 15-year-olds, he'd still probably kiss.
I was about to say, I've seen some clips of him kissing girls who were underage.
Yes. Oh, but usually he'd go to the cheek there. Right, he was a gentleman, Trey.
Yeah, but where was his hand?
That's a whole different story. Also today, the president-elect has a birthday. Joe Biden is 78 today. You want a weird comp? Joe Biden is the exact same age. Now, this other guy's not actually alive, but if Super Dave were still alive, Joe Biden would be, they'd be exactly the same age. Bob Einstein, who died back in 2019, he would have been 78 today. So Joe Biden, for the inauguration, he will be older at inauguration than Reagan was at the end of his time as president. And he is, of course, older than GW. He is older than Bill Clinton, older than they are right now. 78 years old at inauguration.
The Reagan comp is a layered one.
But that's weird, though. Like Reagan at the end of two full terms.
Yeah.
Younger than what Biden will be at the time of inauguration. So happy birthday to those folks. If you're in, if you're a music fan and an Eagles fan, Joe Walsh, 73 years old today.
I've never seen a picture of Joe Walsh before today.
Wait, ever?
No, never. I thought he looked like something completely different or someone completely different. He looks like a straight up pedo creep. So, and I've read and heard some stories about Joe Walsh, including from friend of the show, Howard Bloom. Yeah, Joe Walsh was a weird, weird dude back in the day. Hopefully he's leveled out just a little bit, but the look doesn't suggest he has.
Let me just quickly revisit. You're telling me that 3 days ago, if I'd brought in a picture in his, like of his prime, like Joe Walsh in the like prime Joe Walsh, you would have not known who it was?
I thought he had short dark hair.
Wow.
And a slender face.
Okay.
And he's got long, stringy, blonde hair and a fat pumpkin face.
He's definitely got a wacky look going on now.
Yeah.
Joe's been through some health stuff, though, I think, too.
Yeah. Don't want to diminish any of that, right. But he has also put his body through a lot over the years.
Oh, it's a hard living, yeah.
Yeah.
All the Eagles songs aren't hard, but they lived that way while they were making a lot of it.
He lived, in terms of the hardness of life, the opposite of every song in the Eagles catalog.
Yes. You can still live hard and sing ballads, and sing slower stuff, right? You can still sing peaceful, easy feeling and not be living that way.
He did not take it easy.
There it is. There it is. Well done. I went like with a silver medal layer, and then you went right to the big hit. Well done. Well played. Wherever he is, the late, great, rest in peace, Glenn Frey. Glenn Frey would have appreciated that joke. That was good stuff. All right. Thanks to Trey for that one. And coming up, it is Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. We've got our fantasy football conversation coming up with our own Adam Wagner, the Wagner Wire, Sundays 9 to 12. We'll talk to Wags at 2. We've also got plenty of NFL to get into. But up next with Dustin, let's talk some Longhorns. Also, we'll mix in some basketball. He's a Rockets fan, so we've got to ask about that. Plus, the Longhorns start next week. We'll get a little preview of that team from Dustin coming up on the Horn.